I believed, therefore I spoke. That line from today's second reading resonated with me all week. And I couldn't quite understand why. Today, it finally hit me. If you know the structure of the Sunday readings, the Old Testament, the first reading from the Old Testament, and the Gospel are usually connected in some way. Sometimes it's a very intimate connection where the Gospel will actually quote the Old Testament reading. Sometimes it's a little less obvious. The second reading may or may not fit into the whole picture. Sometimes Paul's letters, they just kind of stand out there by themselves. But I kept getting drawn back to that one line, I believed, therefore I spoke. So I started reflecting on all of the readings. I thought, why is this line jumping out at me? If you look at the first reading from the Old Testament, and we see the fall of Adam and Eve, we see the work of Satan, deception, temptation to sin, and the consequences of what happens when we do not overcome the temptation to sin. We were at a Deacon Region meeting this morning, and one of the deacons said what really stood out to him from this reading was when God asked Adam, "Where are you?" Now think about that. God knows where Adam is. But because of sin, Adam is now lost. And God says, "You have eaten then of the forbidden tree." If you jump forward then to the gospel, and we hear all of the mutterings about Jesus being out of his mind and he has an unclean spirit and all of these things. But I want to look at the last part where he tells them, "The one who does the will of my Father is my brother, my sister, my mother." We're called to walk in union with God. So the first reading, we see what happens when we don't. And the second reading, we see that Jesus invites us into this repentance. You know, we could talk about the unforgivable sin, but it's that final unrepentance. But notice how clearly Jesus says all these sins will be forgiven. But it requires repentance on our part. Which then brings me to the second reading in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. I believed, therefore I spoke. That line was italicized, so I had to do some homework. I thought, what is going on here? Why is this line drawing me? And so I pulled out my Ignatian Bible study and read the commentary. So it is a caption from the Greek version of Psalm 116, verse 10, where David the psalmist uttered this, "I believe, therefore I spoke." So David, if you're familiar with the Psalms in any way and the life of David, David's life was not always smooth. And in this Psalm 116, it is a hymn of praise and thanksgiving. And so despite all of the trials, the tribulations, David's missteps, all of the really difficult circumstances, he feels this need to give praise and thanksgiving to Yahweh for rescuing him. Okay? So that's Old Testament Psalm time. Now, fast forward to Paul and the apostles and Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And he re-utters this line, "I believe, therefore I spoke." If you think about Paul and the apostles, they were experiencing some tough times in the early church as well, to the point of many of them giving their lives. But if you look at what's going on here, they are also giving praise and thanks to God, and they're trusting in God that God will protect them. And so there is this need to be people of praise and thanksgiving despite the circumstances. So you have David in the Old Testament, you have Paul here at the beginning of the New Testament. Jump forward now 2,000 years and here we are. In our culture today, Are we experiencing any of the challenges and difficulties of proclaiming the faith to the world? I think the answer is obvious, yes. Some people say that our culture is resistant to Christianity as a whole, and maybe even a little hostile to Catholicism in particular. But we're called to speak the truth. And when you think about all of the relativism that's going on in our world today, there is objective truth. That objective truth is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, are we convicted enough of our beliefs that we are willing to speak the truth even when it's uncomfortable, when it's difficult? We profess the creed every week when we come here. We know what it is we believe. Are we able to go out into the world with conviction and proclaim it? If you ever listen to Father Mike Schmidt's Catechism in a Year, when he talks about the fourth commandment, he talks about that there will be times in families when there is division. He said, Jesus told us in Scripture, father against son, mother against daughter. And he raises this point about speaking objective truth. And sure, we don't want to experience conflict in our families. And it's a delicate situation sometimes. But if there's someone in our family who is experiencing the concupiscence of the flesh, which is what we're talking about from that first reading from the fall of Adam and Eve, where the intellect is darkened, the will is weakened, and all of our disordered desires and appetites are taking over, and we go down this spiral of sin to the point of where we're addicted to the sin, and the difficulty of getting out of that sin is real. And so if we have family members or loved ones that we see going down this path, are we going to remain silent, or will we invite them to repentance? And yes, it can be an uncomfortable discussion. But is it really love if we watch somebody walk off the moral cliff? I don't think so. And I've had people tell me, well, I try to let my actions speak for themselves. Wonderful. I want all of us to be credible witnesses. I want us to have integrity. I don't want us to just talk the talk. I want us to walk the walk. And if you're doing that, marvelous. But my dear people, there are times when we have to speak. How can people come to know the love of God unless it is shared with them? And that starts with our families, our friends, our co-workers, our classmates. That doesn't mean we're going to go out and hammer them over the head with the Bible, but we can invite them to experience the love of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so today, I simply invite you to think about two short prayers. The first one, I know in my own life there have been times I've stayed silent when I should have spoken. And so my prayer for that is, Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. We're in the month of June, dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Yesterday was the feast day of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Place ourselves in that Sacred Heart. So for those times when we fail to live up to the calling, we ask for that forgiveness. What is the calling? The calling is to be a witness out in the world. At the end of each Mass, the deacon sends you forth. Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life, or go and announce the gospel of the Lord. What we do here, we're nurtured by the proclamation of God's sacred word. We're nourished by the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist, but then we're sent forth to go out into the world to be ambassadors of Christ. We don't keep it to ourselves. And yes, we are equipped to be those ambassadors because of God's grace. So for those times when we fail to live up to that Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. But today and every day when you are sent forth from Mass, I hope that you will also remember that you're equipped to be this faithful witness. And for that prayer is simply this, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I trust in you.